Broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. I am your host, Michael Dean, the Iron Hamster. And who do we have on the other end of the inner tubes? Ladies first.
This is Nikki Darling from broadcasting from Mordor on the Potomac.
That's Maryland, right?
Yeah.
And also in Maryland, in Baltimore, or Bodymore Murderland, as they call it. Who we got there?
Yo, yo, yo. It's the Freedom Fox representing from Baltimore.
Fun. Yeah, okay. In my basement, I have stockpiled 6,000 pounds of the shoulder thing that goes up. And I'm in what
is it, black?
I'm in, yes, looking. it's scary black. I'm it's an assault bacon, and I have a window. I'm in a windowless bunker full of Christopher Cantwell, and we can eliminate the government with distributed and decentralized open carrying. And having outgrown childish libertarian fantasies, I now believe in a bogus DMCA claim. Yes, people, I am playing the Libertarians Against Humanity solitaire version, which is a little single web page I made last night. You can go to freedomfiends.com/LOL. That's freedomfiends.com/LOL, like laugh out loud. That's freedomfiends.com/LOL. And it's an instant version with no choices that you can just hit the play button over and over and over and over and over for free. It's Jim Jesus's version of Cards Against Humanity. It's based on that deck. And it's pretty fun. We're going to play some later today. But in the meantime, I think Nikki Darling has a story and then Garrett the Fox has a story.
Garrett should go first.
Oh, it's story time.
Gather round, children. It's story time on Libertarian Tales from Grandpa. Tell us about back when there was government.
There still is.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, this is actually a neat one. It's a rather quick one. It really warmed my soul. I was at a wedding, I guess, now almost like 2 months ago, and the couple that was getting married. They're the liberty-minded sort, and a lot of their friends and family that came were too. A lot of the same characters you'd wind up seeing at Porkfest. So we're kind of hanging out, and the reception's dying down. Everyone's getting ready to go back over to the hotel for some drinks and stuff. And this guy walks up to me and says, "Hey, you're Garrett, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah." He's like, "Yeah, Freedom Fiends. Very cool." I was like, "Oh, cool. You listen?" He's like, "Yeah." And so he looks at me and he says, "You need to tell that Michael Dean to quiet down and let his co-host talk a little bit."
I won't even laugh because then he'll get upset. Now, forget that guy, man. No, I built this.
He was cool. He gave me the little wink, you know. But it was very neat to see somebody out in the real world who could, it was like a little left fiend.
Yep, and I've never been recognized on the street for being a fiend because I don't go out on the street. I stay in my windowless bunker and polish my bayonets with anarcho bacon.
Well, that's actually probably good for it, isn't it?
Yeah, it
keeps it from rusting up.
Well, you know, actually, it's an interesting story that during I think it was the Boer Wars in India. Oh, I'm going to get this all wrong. There was some war in India where the British were making soldiers and paying soldiers to fight, and they had Muslim soldiers and Hindu soldiers fighting for the British, and they both got really mad at the British because they were using a mixture of pig fat and cow fat to lubricate the rifles.
Ooh, yeah.
Yummy.
Yummy.
I bet that smelled pretty good when the whole bunch went off.
Yeah, but if you're a Hindu, you don't want to be rubbing that cow fat.
Yeah, and the Muslims didn't want to be rubbing the pork fat. So, yep. In England, always thinking of others while having their tyranny that never has the sun set on it. It sure sets on it now. That's why they're so oppressive, man, because they used to be like the biggest power in the world, or one of them at one time. And they're just this little cold, foggy rock now. And I think that, you know, they tried to get the Falklands. They wanted another cold, foggy rock with a bunch of sheep on it, and they killed a bunch of people for that.
It's sad when people live in the past like that.
Yeah, I saw a meme that I really like. I may use this even out of context for the image today. It's a Carl Sagan quote, and it's got a picture of the Earth from space. And this is mind-blowing and beautiful. It says, "Think of the rivers of blood spilled by all those generals and emperors so that in glory and triumph they could become momentary masters of a fraction of a dot."
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
That's a good one.
Yeah, yep. It is. So what's your story there? What's your story, Morning Glory?
I work in schools every day.
I'm sorry.
And in some public schools and private schools. I do enjoy my job. I really like my company and my coworkers. But usually for their first thing in the morning, I have to endure the Pledge of Allegiance, which I do nothing. I just kind of play with my camera gear while everyone else is doing the pledge.
Rock on.
And actually I have a few coworkers that don't do anything either. So, but I haven't talked to them about why yet. But so at the end of the day, one day, I don't know how we got on the subject of like schools and propaganda. And I have a coworker who I think is kind of half the way towards my side a little bit. And
towards liberty.
Yes.
Towards real liberty that doesn't have worship and allegiance to the collective state.
Exactly. Yeah.
And if anyone's listening, let me interject here. You might think, wait, these people sounded cool and now they sound like they're not patriotic. We are so liberty loving. We, you know, some of us carry guns. We like free trade with our neighbors without the government interfering with it. We think Obama is a socialist, a liar, and his feet stink. But we also know that patriotism is a form of collectivism, and collectivism is bad, man. When you're complaining about Obama, you're complaining about collectivism. So go on, please, Nikki.
Yeah, it's usually like the people complaining about Obama are on another side that's a collectivist. So whatever.
Yeah.
So anyway, my coworkers, I informed them about Francis Bellamy and how he created the Pledge of Allegiance to sell, it was first magazines and then flags to the public schools, and how the first, instead of putting your hand over your heart, it was more like an upside down.
It was the Nazi salute. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And one of my coworkers was just like, get out of here. That is insane. I had no idea. I have to go Google that later. And I was like, good, my job is done. And then another coworker scoffed at me and she was like, whatever. But it felt really good to be able to say that and just let it go afterwards, just to let it marinate with them.
Yeah, and furthermore, Francis Bellamy, who wrote and invented the Pledge of Allegiance and got it into all the schools so he could sell flags and what else was it? Magazines.
Magazines,
flags, magazines and then flags. He was a socialist. And I'm not saying in the way that people say, Obama's a socialist, like, Obama's a socialist, but he doesn't admit it. Francis Bellamy called himself a socialist.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I just don't think a lot of people in this country understand what true socialism is either. They believe that it's like Canada, and Canada is this like rainbows and puppy utopia where everybody gets free stuff. And most people love the idea of that.
No,
they don't understand.
It's like the Soviet Union where you have to wait in line 4 hours to get a meager amount of food, spending all your money. And
exactly.
That's where it all leads to. I mean, and Canada is not all puppy dogs and rainbows. We have friends that we've had on the show there before, Ed and Ethan, and it's bad. You know, the free healthcare they have there, which is not like the free healthcare being foisted on Americans here. It's not even free. We have to go buy it and get fined if we don't. There it looks free. You know, it's higher taxes and it's, but you don't pay for it, but you can die waiting for a doctor there. You know,
yep.
Like literally, like people who have serious illnesses that have money, even people that don't have serious illnesses that have money, go to other countries for their health care.
Yep, definitely. Mm. Yeah, what do you think, Garrett?
Well, I was just comparing it to, you know, going to the MVA or the DMV, that's free also.
But getting pulled over by a cop and being given a ticket is free too. You don't have to pay for that. Getting beaten up by the cops, which they're doing more and more and more. That happens more and more these days.
Yeah, finally the other day, my dad, we saw somebody get pulled over in the car, and he's like, you know, the cops are really starting to become bad. And I was like, what? You're finally getting this now? I've been complaining about this for 5 years now.
Oh, okay. So tell us why you're going to lose your throat, your voice by the end of the show, Nikki.
After breakfast with my father, we had a little I don't know how it started. We just had a little debate about anarchy, and he finally says, okay, so now you're admitting that you're extreme. You're an anarchist.
Okay, now let's clarify for the radio listeners. When you say you're an anarchist, you're not a socialist. You're not violent. You're an anarcho-capitalist. You believe all the things that Republicans say, that government should be so tiny that it has no effect on your life. You believe that and just take it one more degree.
Yes, but yeah. I also believe that people should be allowed to have their little government if they want, but I would like to be able to opt out of it.
Yeah, I like the word voluntarist better because it doesn't mean if you. I believe anarcho-capitalism makes sense, but calling myself that makes it sound like that's the only way I think society could be organized. And I believe that, like you, that people should be able to voluntarily have their own little enclaves and organize them however they want.
Yeah, but he had a whole lot of straw man arguments about why that would never work. And my dad forgets that my brain works like Sherlock Holmes. Like, there's always an answer. There's always a solution. They're telling me that this is how it is and that's how it'll always be just because is not an answer to me.
Yeah.
And he doesn't like that.
Well, I mean, the common thing that makes a lot of sense is there was a time when they said that about slavery, and they said, Without slavery, the cotton would never get picked. And apparently it got picked without slaves. And, you know, I feel like where we are now with getting away from government oppression, and it may get worse before it gets better. But, you know, I feel like we're like people in the 1800s who said, hey, maybe people shouldn't own people. And, you know, it took until, you know, half a century later. And it really wasn't the war that ended it. It was on its way out anyway. And it's kind of pathetic that it took a war for, you know, if you're going to believe it took a war to do it, this is the only country that it took a war to do it. And it wasn't really the war that did it. It was on its way out anyway. And really largely technology and people just spreading good ideas got rid of it.
Exactly. A thought revolution.
And that's the Freedom Fiends. We're a thought revolution. And we'll be back with more of that after this trip to the free market. Worms.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com. True libertarians never have raw milk. That's not true. I must be playing Libertarians Against Humanity solitaire version from freedomfiends.com/LOL. That's freedomfiends.com/LOL. And we'll be playing some later on here today. Garrett Fox, you have a story. Tell me a story.
Okay. Well, I guess this qualifies as a story. But more or less, I'm looking out to you, Michael. I need some more guidance in this whole cat herding thing.
I love telling people what to do.
Well,
that's not good.
This kitten.
They don't have to do it.
This kitten, she's gone spastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, literally jumping from furniture to furniture. I have bloody wounds all over me now.
Aww.
Well, first of all, do you know how to trim cat's nails?
Yes, and we've been doing it regularly.
For the record, that is completely something different than declawing cats. I think people who declaw cats should have their genitalia removed. It is horrible.
And one of the reasons we didn't declaw her, besides the fact that that's horrible and cruel, is I've also heard that cats tend to bite more when they don't have their claws.
Because you've taken away their only means of defense.
Right.
Yeah. Not that, you know, they need to like attack you in self-defense all the time, but they like to play. And if their nails are gone, first of all, they bite you more because they're walking around. It'd be like if your toenails were ripped out and you walked on your tippy toes.
Yeah.
Second of all, if you if you live a life where you can't afford, for some reason or another, in your mind, cats to claw furniture, you shouldn't have cats. Just don't, oh, yeah. Just don't have them. Just have a snake or something, or fish. Yeah, but yeah, it's horrible, man. Don't ever declaw cats.
They do have these plastic nail covers the clips, you can get.
Yeah, the covers.
We thought about doing that, and it just seemed like even more tedious than trimming
it nails. Is. And trimming their nails, you have to be really careful not to cut into the quick. You just do the tip.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
just
you
the
look
tip.
At them, just the tip. You don't do the part where there's a different color. That has nerve endings in it. But you can just do the tip. We do it about every 2 weeks to our cats. We do it to the two cats that are indoor. The older cat that occasionally goes outdoor, we don't cut her nails, but they're not that sharp anyway because she's constantly – she thinks she's sharpening them, but she's actually dulling them because she does it on, like, concrete, like, straight down and things like that, and rocks and wood. She likes to come in the table that is sitting in front of me that my computer's on, one of the legs of it. Eventually, this table is going to collapse because the cat sharpens her nails on it. And literally, it's taken, like – over the past couple of years, it's taken like an inch of the wood away. There's just a big, wow. Like, it looks like you like hit it with a hammer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So your cat is going crazy. Now, let me ask you this. Is your cat like upset or just very vibrant?
Hyper.
But not freaked out or like crazy, like it's hurting her soul.
No. She seems happy for the most part. Like it's a very playful thing, and we actually like to, you know, work some of that energy out of her with all of her toys and stuff. She fetches. She plays fetch just like nice. A dog. We'll throw one of her little mouse across the room, and then she'll grab it, run back up, and just drop it right in front of you. Like, okay, aww, we're playing a game.
Little toy mouse.
Yeah, it's really weird. Oh, and she's been leaving it outside of our bedroom door lately.
Well,
I noticed that because we don't have real mice around, so she brings us that.
Oh, she loves you guys.
Yeah. I'll give a couple general cat care tips. I don't know if I have the answer for you, but people ask me a lot for cat care tips. So here's a few. Don't ever give cats or dogs anything that have onion or garlic in it. It can kill them.
Or grapes.
Okay.
Okay.
Don't give cats milk. It's not good for them, and some of them are actually intolerant to cow's milk and will get sick.
And fart.
And make sure you have enough cat resources for your cats. Like if your cat ends up pooing or peeing, you need more litter boxes cleaned out every day in different parts of the house so they don't compete over them. More bowls of food, different places around the house so they don't compete over them, and same with water. And the same with like spaces and ways to get around things, you know, so like it's harder for one cat to trap another in the corner because cats are predatory beasts that hunt in the wild, and they're way wilder than dogs. Dogs are way more domesticated than cats. Cats are only semi-domesticated.
Yeah.
And most cats, if they escaped outside or if their owner abandoned them, have a pretty good chance of living in the wild. I mean, they can run up trees. They can run really fast. They're really good hunters. They're really good hiders. I mean, cats in the wild, I'm not saying get your cat, throw it on the outside, you know, let it go. But I'm saying, like, they are, you know, they're little killing machines. If they're bigger, they would eat you because you're made of meat. We'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
In my basement, I have stockpiled 600 pounds of cop blocking. We should move to Chile and make a living providing a bunch of socialists. Adam Kokesh was most recently arrested for anti-statists advocating mandatory GMO labeling. I left my boyfriend, I'll say girl, I left my boyfriend because he did not agree with me about an annoying radio ad about anarchist lapel pins. True libertarians never have worms.
I got one. The good. New competitor to the Silk Road got shut down for selling worms.
When I get to New Hampshire, I plan to have moving to New Hampshire only to find out they still have a government. A windowless bunker full of making YouTube videos about Austrian economics and the virtues of rugged individualism from your mom's basement. All right, so we're playing Libertarians Against Humanity Solitaire, which is at freedomfiends.com/LOL, and you can go there and play the home version of the game. That's freedomfiends.com/LOL. But we want to talk with Nikki and Garrett about Mordor on the Potomac, which is DC and the environs, the circa areas around there.
Yes, oh, yeah. We both live in the outer suburbs, I guess you'd say.
Is there a name for that? I mean, it's outside the Beltway, or is it further than that?
I'm right outside the Beltway.
I lived outside the TMZ in LA. Do you know what the TMZ is?
No, I thought you were going to say the DMZ.
I almost did. Well, the TMZ, you know, there's a website called TMZ that's all about exposing everything that happens in Hollywood. TMZ means 30-mile zone.
Okay.
It's a 30-mile radius around L.A. Because L.A. isn't – Hollywood isn't really in L.A. only, and a lot of it's outside of it. A lot of it's in Burbank. A lot of the studios, TV and film, are in Burbank or other places in the valley. And a lot of filming in L.A. goes on, like, you know, Agoura Hills and Malibu Canyon. You know, like Malibu Canyon and Agoura Hills area can double for anything. I mean, it can double for the Old West, or it can double for Korea. Like, you know, MASH was filmed entirely in that area, and all the outside shots are in Malibu. And go ahead.
What's the area where all the prawn is filmed?
Oh, the prawn is all filmed in the San Fernando Valley.
Oh, okay, I thought there was a neighborhood, Laurel Valley Canyon or something.
Laurel Canyon? No, yeah. Laurel Canyon's a whole different story, and everything goes on there. And I actually reviewed a book recently about how, like, the devil and the CIA have cursed Laurel Canyon. It's kind of interesting.
Oh, okay.
It's weird because it's a really weird, like, little, very rural neighborhood in L.A. that doesn't look like the city. It looks like you're out in the country. It's in the city, though. And, like, every rock star from the 60s and 70s lived there. It's kind of uncanny. And they all kind of just showed up there. Like, before – it happened before the Haight-Ashbury thing happened in San Francisco.
Oh, okay.
And there was also, a CIA film – like, propaganda film studio there.
Huh. Okay. But
so the TMZ, though, is the 30-mile zone around L.A. And we lived in Agoura Hills, which is 33 miles from L.A. So we were just outside the TMZ. But go ahead with your talk about being outside the belt, just outside the beltway of D.C.
Well, the one thing that strikes me is that traffic is a nightmare here. And I think it has been rated the worst traffic in the country recently.
Yep. I heard that same thing. Yep.
Yeah. And it's mainly because we have the Potomac River. So people who work in Virginia and live in Maryland or vice versa, it's getting over that river. And I guess this is a good thing because they haven't brought in eminent domain to try to get people's land so they can build more bridges. But at the same time, we need more bridges because it is a nightmare.
Up on the north side of that, so I don't have to deal with all that traffic you're talking about, except for the very edge.
Yeah, you're very lucky, and I think where you live is better. I think people are kind of more down to earth there.
I'd like to think so, yeah.
Yeah, but where I'm at, it feels just like people are very entitled because they're getting giant paychecks.
I was just going to say, yeah, like, dude, a lot of people work for the government there, for the federal government, and everyone who works for the federal government like thinks they're the sheriff of their county. They act like it, don't they?
Oh yeah, totally. And I don't know what it is, but when they drive, you can just tell their personality by the way they drive and how rude they are. And like, they're driving a Maserati and you're like, what? You don't need a Maserati.
Well, DC has the highest per capita income in the nation, which is pretty mind blowing. Because there are a lot of poor people in DC to bring that curve down. But even with that, I mean, there's a lot of ghetto in D.C. I mean, there are a lot of people who don't have two food stamps to rub together.
No, that's not true. Not anymore.
I mean, I live there. Oh, it's changed. Okay.
Yeah, it's changed. That they are gentrifying all these neighborhoods and they're moving all these people out to like PG County and Montgomery County. And the benefits there. There are people on welfare who make more money than I do working 40 hours a week at my job.
Talk about that for a minute.
I mean, I don't know what else there is to say. It's upsetting because I really do work very hard. I mean, to the point where I fall asleep at 8 o'clock at night. But yeah, there are people, and I was talking about this with my father. If benefits were not a reward for being irresponsible, people would probably be forced to be responsible, in my opinion. And people get really good benefits here. And depending on the amount of children you have, you get more and more benefits.
I mean, to put on the minarchist hat for a minute and believe that government should exist and can be fixed, which neither are true. Yeah, I mean, but the problem is whenever they try to do anything like, you know, really enforce that if you're on welfare, you have to look for a job and, you know, cut it off after 9 months. And
they don't do that.
Yeah, but that comes up from time to time and has, you know, for the past 40 years or 60 years from time to time. And it gets quashed down by people who are voted in by people who don't work, who are on welfare.
Exactly. And I was telling my dad that. He was like, well, you just need to vote. You can't complain because you don't vote. And I said,
that's ridiculous.
Voting is minutiae. It does nothing. It helps nobody. And it's not going to stop this whole welfare thing that's going on right now. And literally, I told him, I said, without this department within the government, these people would not get handouts. Therefore, what are they going to do if they have kids and have no money?
What did he say?
He said, well, everyone should have the right to have children. And I said, sure, but you need to have money to support them and you shouldn't be having kids if you have no money. I said, the Mormons have 10 plus kids and they don't ask a dime from the government because they all have jobs.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the words of the great
Mormons
DJ.
Are hardworking people and they're very sought out by employers because they don't steal.
Yeah.
So go ahead, Garrett.
What did DJ say? Don't breed them if you can't feed them.
Yeah, she didn't invent that. She did not invent that, but she actually said that to somebody in line in front of her at the Walmart. It was a couple, they were like 22 years old and had three kids and the wife was pregnant and they were counting their food stamps and trying to figure out what they could buy with money and what they could buy with food stamps and what they had to buy with money. And they couldn't do basic math as well as being on welfare. And, she said, if you can't feed them, don't breed them. I wasn't with her at the time. And the husband got up in her face in this couple and like got aggressive with her. And being Wyoming, this 6'4" Wyoming cowboy behind DJ in line got up like between my wife and this guy and protected the polite woman, you know, the correct woman in line, my wife, and said, it's true, son, or something like that. And the guy like angrily went back to counting his food stamps.
Yeah. I mean, it is true. Like, if you don't have the benefits to look forward to, I feel that as a person, you will be more responsible. It's as simple as that.
Yeah. And, you know, there'd be a lot of things to work out. Like, there would be children that would suddenly be starving. But
yep.
I believe that could be taken care of without the government. I believe there are enough church groups and enough private secular charity groups that the transition of that wouldn't be bloody like people think it would be, and people wouldn't have to starve.
No,
children wouldn't have to starve. Adults who can work, who don't want to work, would probably starve, or they'd go out and try to rob people and they'd get shot and there would be some blood. But, you know, to transition from a system based on force, theft, fraud, and aggression that we have now with any government in any country to an ethical system that lives by the golden rule, where you don't kill people and you don't hold guns to their head and take their taxes and take their property to make mini malls. I think there would be a little bit of blood, but you know, if you want to make an omelet, you got to break some eggs. And it would almost entirely be violent, horrible, lazy people who want to steal getting offed. And it would, in the long run, there'd be a lot less deaths than there are per year from any government.
Yeah, obviously, this is something that isn't going to happen overnight or even in our lifetime. But
I'm still hopeful for our lifetime.
Well, yeah, I'm hopeful too, but who knows?
I mean,
but
I think about my lifetime. Like, in my lifetime, I was alive and talking before people went to the moon. And when I was when I first was able to read when I was 5 years old in 1969, you know, a telephone call to another country cost $10 a minute. A computer was the size of a house and cost millions of dollars and couldn't do what your iPhone can do now. I mean, if you think about the exponential nature of technology, I think ideas can spread that way too. Good ideas, especially with technology. I think it's possible in our lifetimes.
Yes, and it's about the ideas and spreading the ideas. And even speaking of the moon, my dad earlier was like, just go move to the moon. And I said, ooh, you can't even support life on the moon. Why? What?
Did he ever read some Heinlein? Because that is the topic of a Heinlein novel.
No, he hasn't. No. But I did suggest that he read a very good book called Chaos Theory by, why is the name escaping? Robert Murphy from the Mises Institute, which is a great 45, 50 page book about how a voluntary society would work.
Who will build the trying to bring about a free society by selling jars of homemade jam out of your garage?
True libertarians never like a magic word you can say in court to get off scot-free.
Having outgrown childish libertarian fantasies, I now believe in making YouTube videos about Austrian economics and the virtues of rugged individualism from your mom's basement. In LibPair, people would have much more of a cuss-laden screaming rant syndicated on 165 FCC-regulated radio stations.
What's that like?
Let's go to the free market. Ask Mark Edge. Free Talk Live.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
You've heard of shinybadges.com, but check out the new Causes tab. Every item includes a donation to a worthwhile Liberty project. Buy the Silk Road pin to contribute to the Ross Ulbricht Legal Defense Fund, or buy the Bitcoin Not Bombs t-shirt to contribute to Hoodie the Homeless 2014. Pick from many more. Go to causes.shinybadges.com and get yourself some quality Liberty products that not only start a conversation, but also put your money where your heart is. Plus, get a free gift when you pay with Bitcoin. causes.shinybadges.com. Hi, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends Radio Show. The internet has lowered the cost barrier for a worldwide radio show to a price approaching zero. Yet there is one arena where you still need thousands of dollars to approach the audio quality of the corporate media. Doing a live spoken show with more than one host in different geographic locations. Our program, Fiend Phone, will solve that problem, and it will be given away free. Go to fiendphone.com to see what you can do to help. That's FEENPHONE.com. In the end, in the long run, we're all voluntarily letting your children starve. No, we're not.
Nope.
Nope. In our lifetime, I predict we will see saying that everything you don't like is unconstitutional. I think we're seeing that already.
Bitcoin will eventually replace arguing with other libertarians about the nuances of the NAP.
I would join the Free State Project, but New Hampshire has too much raw milk. One time at Porkfest, I smoked investing in Galt's Gulch, Chile.
Oh.
Last night on Free... Okay, you got one there, Nikki?
We could use the blockchain to deliver open carrying.
We're playing Libertarians Against Humanity solitaire version. If you're just tuning in, you can go to freedomfiends.com/LOL. That's freedomfiends.com/LOL. And Garrett had a story about video games, speaking of fun things. By the way, once per hour I say this, maybe twice per hour. Obama is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink. Okay, go ahead, Garrett.
Well, in the long run, we are all the shoulder thing that goes up.
Glenn Beck trusts and uses the Illuminati.
We need to audit the Illuminati.
We need to audit a magic word you can say in court to get off scot-free.
All right, so
anarchy cannot work. Who would build the Koch brothers? Crotch Brothers. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, so you can already see how this is one of those games that can suck away your entire life, huh?
It's better than Facebook. It's better than Facebook because if you just play by yourself or on the radio where you don't take calls, you know, you don't get in arguments.
Yep.
Well, you guys got me thinking about this new addiction of mine after mentioning living on the moon. I bought a new video game called Destiny to any of the people out there that follow the video game world around. And I got to say, it is going to suck away my entire life. I've specifically avoided playing it this morning so I wouldn't miss the show.
Hey, this one, this one's pretty good. Adam Kokesh was most recently arrested for the gun in the room. That happened. Okay, go
pretty
ahead.
Go ahead, sorry.
So, yeah, this whole video game takes place in a dystopian future where there's barely any humans left on Earth, as all of the other humans, the rich ones and the well-off ones, were able to escape the planet and get to different star systems and explore the whole galaxy. So now it's just a whole bunch of ragtag people staying back on Earth trying to fight off the aliens that came to invade.
Cool. One time at Porkfest, I smoked the non-aggression principle.
That happens every year.
There's a lot of that going on.
Go ahead. Tell me more about your game.
Well, it's not so much the game that I wanted to discuss, but maybe what do you guys think the entertainment value of things will be once the, the libertarian paradise does come to be?
I think it's, I don't know, this one, just, I'm glad this isn't like a magic eight ball. We're not using this as like predictive, because this one says, police need to stop, stand your ground.
Oh, yeah. that's one of the things I was asking you guys about yesterday. Football, love it, hate it, the whole entertainment thing, people being... Well,
the bread and circus, you mean?
Nima's the guy to ask about that, because Nima is one of the few no-government men I know who loves football. I've never, ever been into watching sports. I feel like watching sports is ridiculous. I don't know. Here's the thing. I don't think it's ridiculous. It's never appealed to me. I'll say that. But I have two problems with it. One is... my one problem with it, which is both these problems, is the collectivism. I don't like that you have to stand up and pledge to obey the state, and that there's all the icons for the state and the ads for the military industrial complex at halftime. Mm-hmm. And I also don't like that people sit at home getting fat on their couch and talk about their team and say we as if they did something.
Yep.
I find that really ridiculous. But sports are good. Competition's good. Physical activity's good. Tribalism's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nice way to wrap it up there. Yeah.
Yeah, we could talk about that in the second hour too, about tribalism. I mean, really, that's the basis of all evil. Because without government, you'd still have some tribalism. I mean, that's what
my
ISIS
team's
is.
Better than yours because I was born here.
ISIS is a tribe trying to be the government.
Ew.
Ew. That's square. Oh, I want to talk about black flags when we get back in the history of black flags.
Okay.
Which have been recently ruined by ISIS, but yeah. Worms.
Worms. Worms. Worms.
Hey, there's some Squiskar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And UM's listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And, I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Freedom Fiends!
Meow!
Good afternoon, Amarillo. That's the we run a bunch of stations, but that's the one that we start on for just this second hour. So we want to say hi to Amarillo, Texas. Say hi, guys.
Hi Amarillo. Yep. I've driven through there before. Nice town.
I've been there. Yep.
Yep. Oh, you know who else we should say hi to?
Who?
The people in Cameroon who listen on the satellite.
Yeah, man. I heard that. Yep. That was fun.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. Yeah, hi, Cameroon. Bonjour.
Bonjour. Yeah, they do speak French there, don't they?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, so, and you know, actually, I think the word anarchist, I think the word is French originally.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about black flags and the history of black flags as a representation for no government. Now, it's kind of funny how Republicans and conservatives talk about getting government so small you can drown it in the bathtub. But first of all, if you say, well, let's take it that extra inch and really, like, not even drown in the bathtub, just make fun of it until it drowns itself in the bathtub. They're like, we couldn't live without a government. That's ridiculous. Yep. You know, and the fallacy there is that government does things really poorly, so government should only do really important things. You know, when people say, well, the government shouldn't have any involvement in anything except international treaties, roads, and I forget the other thing. Oh, defense. National defense. So that's basically saying government doesn't do things well. The private sector does everything better. So the three most important things should be done by the agency that does them the worst.
Yes, a gang.
Yeah, a gang. And we're not hippies. We carry guns. We're not bomb throwers. We're not bomb throwers or window breakers. We're peace-loving people. We have a lot in common with conservatives. But we just take it to the, you know, the non-aggression principle, which is basically the same as the golden rule.
Exactly. And I tried to explain that to my dad earlier, and he said, with the absence of no government, there would still be rules, and that's a government in and of itself.
Rules are not a government.
Exactly.
Rulers are a government. And there are all kinds of organizations that are private that have rules, and if you don't abide by the rules, you get kicked out of the organization, and that's how things should work. And if you don't abide by the rules of a you know geographic region in the absence of government, you'd either get killed or you'd get ousted and have to go work on the mineral mines on the asteroids. You know, you'd be subject. You'd only be able to do the loudest and noisiest and most dangerous jobs.
Well, you make that sound so exciting now.
Well, you know, I think in the Heinlein novels that I'm kind of alluding to here, I think that's the ad for people who have been disgraced and kicked out of society. There's posters that say, are you young, strong, and want adventure? Come work on the asteroid mines. Yeah. Which are literally mines on asteroids.
I think I need to read this.
Moon is a harsh mistress. The moon is a harsh mistress is one. Glory Road is a really good book. There's others. There's a Gulch one. What's the Gulch? What, DJ? Farnham's Freehold. Yeah, those are three good no government sci-fi books. And you know, a lot of statists like Nikki's dad probably think, well, that stuff's good in science fiction, but in reality, there'd be blood in the streets.
Yeah, he says it's not practical, but he agrees with my philosophical standpoints.
Well, that's part of the way there. That's part of the way there because most people say, I don't agree with your philosophical ideas. We need more government. You know, I'm gonna do more research on this, but I'm going to talk at some point about the interesting schizophrenia of the Declaration of Independence, because it actually has segments that say there's too much government, King George. And there's other segments of it that say there's not enough government, King George. It's kind of weird. Seriously, read the thing. Most people who worship the founding documents have never actually read them. I like a lot of the Declaration of Independence. I like it more than the Constitution, because other than the Bill of Rights, the Constitution doesn't grant any rights to the people. It grants all the rights to the government and has led to where we are now. When people say we got to get back to the Constitution, I laugh, because we're at it. This is the result of it. But Declaration of Independence was somewhere between a Dear John letter and a Declaration of War. So it's pretty cool. I like it. Except for the schizophrenic parts.
Yeah.
You could almost say they have faith in their government.
Oh.
Who? Oh, religious faith? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, people, even people who say, I think government's horrible and should be reduced to the size where it can be drowned in the bathtub, a lot of those people still worship the icons of the state. And worshiping the icons of the state, there's a lot of things wrong with it. One, like, for instance, I actually tried to put a I used to be buddies with my state rep in my state, and we used to go shooting together. He's a decent guy for a politician. All politicians are immoral, so I have to have that caveat of he's a decent guy for a politician. But he's a fun guy to hang out with when he's not a politician. And I talked to him one time and tried to get him to put forth a bill that would require teaching the Bill of Rights of the United States Constitution in Wyoming schools. And he said, that's a great idea. And he wrote the bill and then added that kids would be required to say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Oh.
And I'm like, that's so missing the point, man, because pledging allegiance to a flag, I mean, first of all, it's entirely co-optable. Like, literally, Obama wants you saying Pledge of Allegiance to the flag because he's going to define what the flag stands for.
Right.
You know, and worshiping the state, making your allegiance to the federal family, I mean, that's what leads to Nazism. That's what leads to Obama. That's what leads to, you know, rounding Native Americans up and putting them in rounding Japanese up also and putting them into internment camps.
I think it's very hard for anybody who's an individualist to worship anybody. And I think that's what we are. I define myself as an individualist completely. Right? Would you?
Yeah.
You're here.
Oh, absolutely. That phrase has a lot of meanings, but, you know, I'm an individualist in both sense of the words, in the sense of, you know, I'm pretty freaky and weird to a lot of people, but also in the sense that the individual is the largest unit that should have any power over itself.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
So, this is not the hive mind.
Yeah. I don't believe in states' rights. I believe in individual rights.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So talk about black flags, Nikki. We're going to talk about this. What do they symbolize? Read some of this Wikipedia article for us.
Well, please. I mean, I think most people think of black flags as pirate flags, which they were at one point also. But the historical origins of the black flag represent the absence of a flag and thus stands in opposition to the very notion of nation states. In that light, the flag can be seen as a rejection of the concept of representation or the idea that any person or institution can adequately represent a group of individuals.
Yeah, go on.
Which is great. Modern anarchism has shared...
I'm intrigued and wish to subscribe to your newsletter. Please keep going.
Modern anarchism has a shared ancestry with, amongst other ideologies, socialism, a movement strongly associated with the red flag. As anarchism becomes more and more distinct from socialism in the 1880s, it adopted the black flag in an attempt to differentiate itself. Some anarchists at the time, such as Peter Kropotkin, preferred to continue using the red flag rather than adopt the black flag.
I don't like socialists.
Me neither. And here's the thing. Whenever I say anarchy, people associate me with the red flagged socialist anarchist who want to live in the streets in tents.
Or they associate you with violence. And neither is true. I like to use the term anarcho-capitalism just because it really irks ANCOMs or anarcho-communists. It really irks them. And here's what they say. They say anarcho-capitalists are not real anarchists, and they get really upset about it. And I really like upsetting anarcho-syndicalists and anarcho-socialists and anarcho-communists. I love to watch them freak out because they don't believe in property, but they believe in the intellectual property of the term anarchism. Like, they own it.
Yeah, I guess recently there was some sort of Wall Street protest again, and I saw on video a person holding a sign that said capitalism is murder and wearing Ray-Ban sunglasses.
Yeah, I mean, there's always, there's a lot of memes out there of things like that, you know, of like people who hate capitalism, you know, streaming their rally live on their iPhone, which is exactly. Ironic because an iPhone is kind of the epitome of capitalism. Although the thing is, those people and a lot of people conflate the term capitalism, which is a good thing, with the term with capitalism and corporatism. Yeah, which is capitalism combined with the government, picking winners and losers and regulating heavily and taxing heavily and adding tariffs, which is literally fascism. Like when people say fascism, they mean tyranny. Like, yo, you fascist. They mean like you who does things I don't like. But literally fascism, I mean, it would always be tyrannical. There is no soft fascism, but I mean, I guess we're living in soft fascism, but there's no like peaceful fascism. But the literal meaning of fascism, all it means is it's different from communism. Communism is complete government ownership of the means of production. Fascism is there's still private ownership of the means of production, but it's extremely controlled by the government. Like during a war, America, Germany, Nazi Germany, America, Japan all did this where they would say, you know, they'd go to the car manufacturers and say, okay, you're going to stop making cars and you're going to start making bombs and tanks. And some of them, you know, maybe you could say they did it because they're good capitalists and they wanted to make money. But if they'd refused to do it, they would have been put out of business by a stroke of a pen immediately. So that's fascism. And America is in fascism. And the capitalism, the so-called capitalism in America that drives Wall Street, that devalues the dollar, you know, to a 20th of its value in 100 years, that steals people's houses, that controls the dollar and has a monopoly on money, that is not true capitalism. That is fascism. That is corporatism. That is crapitalism. So these college freshmen, people in their Oakley glasses yelling in the streets against capitalism, they should just realize that's not capitalism they're yelling at. And capitalism is a good thing. And there's also a few memes going around that are really right on. I mean, I don't really the ones it's kind of a cheap shot having the guy like making fun of the guy making fun of capitalism for wearing Oakley glasses, because people use whatever is in their environment. Like in Africa, in sub-Saharan Africa, where people make a dollar a day, if that, working their butt off, you know, they're still wearing Pepsi t-shirts because that's what somebody drops from an airplane. That's not.
Yeah, but that was free. They didn't pay for it.
Yeah. But what's really ironic, though, is there, you know, there's a meme going around of like, socialists who hate capitalism on Wall Street, like selling the worker, the magazine and the t-shirts, you know, they're engaging in capitalism.
Exactly.
In the name of hating it.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. When I needed a robust and secure home business computer network for my radio show, I hired QPG.us. QPG.us did a great job with a complex custom setup and did it remotely over the internet. Whether you have one computer or 1,000, QPG.us can set up your small business network, no matter where in the world you live, fast and at a reasonable price. QPG.us is a liberty-loving company that can also help you with networking, domain name registration, DNS, email, SSL, VPNs, and more. That's QPG.us.
I'm an anarcho hippie.
You anarcho hippie. I'm a hippie with a gun.
I like vegetables.
I like vegetables too. I just got a water pick. You ever have a water pick?
Oh, I use my...
not an ad. I just...
I was just about to say something. I should...
Yeah. So we're talking about the history here on the Freedom Fiends. We're talking about the history of the Black Flag, which has been known to symbolize the lack of a flag, the lack of a nation. I don't think you read... Did you read the one thing? I like the other thing about it is it's the opposite of a white flag of surrender.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Additionally, a white flag has been used to request parley or to surrender. The counter opposite black flag would logically be a symbol of defiance and opposition to surrender.
I'm going to play a little Libertarians Against Humanity solitaire here. It's a random number generator with phrases that sound funny together that I made. Jim Jesus and who else made the Daryl Perry, a few other people made the terms in it. I made some of them too, and DJ made some. But instead of the gold standard, I propose our currency be tied to rolling blunts on a copy of The Socialist Worker. That sounds horrible. Yeah. Stop Free Keen as a new tactic involving government guns. I think that's their old tactic. But all right, so we're talking about the history of the Black Flag. There's a band called Black Flag, and I always thought that the reason they did it was it's the opposite of a white flag. I don't know how much political history knowledge the members of that band had when they named it, but I really like that band, and I wish we could play some on the radio, but I don't think there is a single radio-friendly song by the band Black Flag.
Yeah,
just one long beep.
Beep! Yeah, man.
They're from D.C., right?
No, they're from L.A.
Okay, because I thought Henry Rollins worked at the ice cream shop in Georgetown.
He was from D.C., but he didn't. Okay. The band was touring and had albums before he joined it. He was a wild-eyed teenage fan of the band when he joined it, and he actually debated whether to quit his job working at Haagen-Dazs in Georgetown to go join the band. And his co-worker there, Ian MacKay of Minor Threat, said, "Do it, man."
Nice. Okay.
Yep.
Well, but thinking of speaking of anarcho punk as a that was I guess a genre of
all those people that said they hated the government back then, not all of them, but an overwhelming amount of them grew up to vote for Obama, which is
yes.
really disappointing for people who in the 80s said that government is immoral.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are they in the Green Party?
Yeah. Jello Biafra.
Well, vote speaking Nader.
Go ahead, Nikki.
Well, I was going to say, speaking of black flags, it says the black flag represents the absence of a flag. To me, I would just not have a flag.
Oh, you could do a clear flag.
Yeah.
A clear flag.
No, just don't have a flag.
I like the don't have a flag thing, but people like flags. People like to have something to say, I'm different than you, and therefore I'm better. And the sad thing is recently ISIS or ISIL has ruined the black flag for everybody. It'll be a while before next, you know, I think in 5 years, if you have a black flag, you know, as a, I don't like flags. I don't like, or a don't surrender flag. People are going to go too soon, man. That still reminds us of ISIL.
Yeah.
I'm sure the CIA will be on to creating something other than ISIL by that point. But
I mean, even stuff like the Gadsden flag represents different things to different people.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's actually, you know, it's used by some people that are like patriots who think the government has gone awry and we need to reclaim the government and get back to the Constitution and put the right men in there and restore the republic, which is all a losing battle. You can't fix a government. Governments are immoral by definition. But it's also used by the Navy. The U.S. Navy uses – there's two Gadsden flags.
Right.
Don't tread on me flags. I mean, one's the Gadsden flag. One's the Navy Jack. And that's still used by the Navy. And actually, we're going to talk about the Circle A, which is an anarchist symbol. But there's actually a Circle A patch in the U.S. military. I think it's Airborne Rangers.
Huh.
I've seen that.
Yeah. I think it's on that page. The shoulder sleeve insignia of the United States – Third Army is what it is. It's a red, white, and blue Circle A. Yep. Started in World War I and World War II. Also was worn in the Gulf War and the Iraq War. So it's still being used. I mean, isn't the Iraq War still going on, or is it called the war, global war on terror now? What do you kids call in this war now?
Waste of time.
Yeah. waste of money.
Waste of time, money, resources, lives. Lives. On the
nation building.
Nation building. Yeah. Yep. They Who will rebuild the roads that are bombed out over there? Halliburton.
Oh, yeah.
I'll get droned for saying that, man. That, like, Halliburton runs Wyoming. And Dick Cheney lives here, man. He could probably have me droned.
Hold your pants.
Without government, who would build the drones?
Is that one of the answers on this?
No.
That's... Yeah, it could be.
It should be.
Both are there.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net. Freedom Fiends.
So cool.
That's a good. I never heard that one. That's pretty good. Yeah. All right. It's Freedom Fiends. And Nikki Darling has an announcement. I kind of pushed her to this, but she's looking for a few good no government men.
Not a few. I'm monogamous. I'm not a
You're looking for a few to, like, you know, line up and look at and say, well, we'll go have tea and see what you think.
Well, if you would like to have a date with me, please email Michael Dean. He will.
Okay. I'll screen them for you. Yeah. So I'll know what you're looking for to screen them, and you know what you're looking for, and they know. Tell me what you're looking for, that you're suddenly single, because why are you suddenly single?
I'm just single because it just didn't work out, and that's the way it is, and it's okay.
All right.
At least you gave it a whirl, right?
Yes, I gave it a try. But yes, living in the D.C. area, it's very hard to find mates. They're usually all in the military, or they have a contracting job, or this or that. Or I got asked out by a cop once, and that was So.
Ew.
So just anyone with the idea of leave me alone.
So you want a man to leave you alone?
No, not me, but the leave me alone-ism aspect of life.
Yeah, you don't want somebody who wants socialism, and you don't want somebody who wants hope and change defined by other people. And how do you feel about guns?
I like them. I just don't own any because I live in the Republic of Maryland, so...
Cool. How far would you be willing to travel to go on a date, or would they have to travel to you?
We could meet halfway. I'm not a feminist, so I believe in equality.
There you
go.
And
we could meet halfway.
Okay.
There you go. I hope we find you someone.
I hope so too.
That'd
I'm
be
sure
awesome.
Amongst our listeners, there's got to be somebody.
It's the power of fiend sourcing.
Exactly. And I like nerdy men who are intelligent. Doesn't matter what you look like, as long as you have all your teeth.
Isn't that a requirement to be a nerd? Do you have to be intelligent?
And have all your teeth?
Yes, but there are a lot of people who misuse the term nerd because they like video games.
And there's a few people who misuse the term, I have all my teeth also.
Exactly. I mean, a few in the back, I understand, but your main teeth?
Yeah. I have all my teeth. I kept them from the dentist.
That's awesome.
Anywho, enough about me.
Yeah. So speaking of relationships, Garrett also has an announcement.
Oh, yeah. Actually involves Nikki as well. We're doing a little get-together here next weekend. It's going to be a fun time. Nikki, I don't know, maybe you want to talk a little bit more about your photography thing?
Oh, I'm just going to be taking engagement photos of lovely Annie and Garrett. They are engaged.
To be state married.
Yes, that's their choice. That's fine. But I'm going to take some fun photos of them, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yay.
I said fun like five times.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun.
No, it is. It is. We're going to hang out. We're going to have a good time. We're going to wander around the property that my parents have obtained, and they signed all their contracts for and everything. But there's a good little barn that just recently got built. There's lots of nature around. There's actually a boarding stable across the way. So I feel like we're not going to have a hard time finding a background.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Nice.
What did you say? You hope it's dry so that you can get us to jump into a pile of leaves or something?
Yes, yes, yes. Because that is the quintessential engagement shoot right there.
Oh, but we're going to get corny. We're going to get corny.
Yes, corny because usually engagement photos and even wedding ceremonies are mainly for the family, and you have to get corny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you see the do you know about the new John Oliver show, Last Week Tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's the greatest name for it. Like, it's really making fun of the fact of how behind the times news is. Last Week Tonight. But he did a piece on drones. I really like that show. I like it better than The Daily Show, even, and of course better than Colbert. Colbert is an inveterate statist liberal, and Jon Stewart is too, but Jon Stewart's actually funny occasionally. But John Oliver, who's also a statist liberal, but he really hates the police state. He hates the drone program. He hates a lot of the right things. He hates the prison industrial complex. He hates civil asset forfeiture. And he does really funny comedy pieces on him. And they're long. They're like 15 minutes of him being funny, you know, whereas that would be like 3 minutes on The Daily Show. And he had one on drones, and there was, he said, and they're even used for friendly purposes, like wedding photography. Did you see that one?
Yeah.
Oh, no. He had someone using, like, you know, a little, you know, high def camera, video camera on a small drone. You know, it was supposed to, like, do a swoop and fly over the couple in their wedding clothes, kissing on the shoreline, the mountain over the shoreline, and it like hit the groom in the head. He wasn't injured, but it was a pretty funny little shot. It was a blooper.
Oh, wedding bloopers are the best.
Oh, tell me about wedding bloopers. You are a wedding photographer.
Well, I didn't see this myself, but I saw this on video. They were doing the ceremony by a pool, and the bride started to fall into the pool, and she grabbed the groom as she was going in, and then he grabbed one of his groomsmen, and like everyone ended up in the pool.
You've actually had the experience as a wedding photographer where people liked your work and were considering hiring you, but then didn't because they found out you were not a liberal. Isn't that true?
Yes, it happened once, and she saw some pictures of activism that I photographed on my website.
It was you photographing a Ron Paul rally, wasn't it?
Exactly, yeah. And I think those pictures are great.
They're great.
Yeah, and I explained to her, you know, I get out in D.C. and I photograph a lot of events, and it started with her emailing me saying, oh, did you get paid to do those Ron Paul photos? What are you doing there? Like,
I would have just said, he's my favorite government thug.
But she was a very extreme person. So I'm okay with that. If I lose business to people like that, that's fine.
Yeah. You don't want them in your life.
Nope. 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 She would have been a bridezilla anyway.
That's what I was just getting ready to say. They'd probably want to micromanage every single picture you took.
Yep.
Yeah. So what else, people? What else about weddings and wedding photography?
I do offer a discount to liberty-friendly people.
And your website is Nikki Darling Art, right?
Yeah, or NikkiDarlingPhotography.com.
But Nikki Darling Art goes to both your art sites. One is your jewelry making and one is your wedding photography. It's Nikki, NikkiDarlingArt.com.
Yep.
I just give that out because photography is hard to spell for people like me.
Yes, so, it is. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you for
That's
your
service.
That's
why I'm glad I have your business card.
So Garrett had something to say about a family.
His family of origin, his foo.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about your foo.
We were talking about flags and everything, and obviously people used to have these family crests that they would put on flags or anything that they could embroider it to. But my mom, she does some of that genealogy tracking, I guess it's called, where they go back way, way back. So she tracked family down all the way to 1602 in England and actually found our Fox family crest. And I'm pretty excited about it because I've always thought that'd be cool, like if I had a smoking jacket to have like our family emblem on it or something.
Does it look like the Freedom Fiends family crest, which is a really weird picture of a cat with a weasel in its mouth leaping across the green field?
It kind of does, because it's got these two foxes like on the side of the shield, and they're all like stretched out. They almost don't look like foxes. So I'm going to take it. It's a really blurry picture. And it's got like Latin writing at the bottom.
Is it a blurry picture with red arrows on it?
There's no red arrows, but there is Latin
writing. Proving that the towers didn't fall on their own.
Yeah, exactly. It's in the Fox family emblem. But the Latin writing actually means it's something along the lines of to live in truth or to live for the truth or something along those lines. So I thought that was pretty interesting. I'm going to recreate it, make a nice sharp vector graphic image on Illustrator. So
my last name, Dean, actually my full name, Michael, means a gift from God. And Dean is a really bad libertarian name, because Dean literally... it's from the same Latin as decimal or decimate, meaning 10. Dean means one who rules over 10.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's me.
Well, that just means you're awesome.
Well, there's 12 freedom fiends, and I don't rule over you guys. So, and we might be about to add a couple more. We'll see. We'll see how these upcoming interesting one-timers go with a couple ladies who are coming in to do a show.
Oh, good.
Oh, little trial runs.
Yeah, man. Trial runs as third wheels and see how it goes.
They
don't yet know that they're being perused as possible ongoing. They think they're just coming on for a night, but we'll see.
Ah, okay.
Well, they know now.
If they listen. Yeah. So more about marriages, y'all. Nikki, you said you'd never get state married. My wife and I are state married, and Garrett and his fiance are getting state married. Why would you never get state married, Nikki?
Because I don't need to. I can have an agreement between me and the person that I'm with on our own. So, yeah. But I mean, I'm okay if you want to get everyone else. I don't care. That's fine. It's just not my thing.
Yeah. The reason we're state married is there's two advantages to it. One is taxes, although the Obama administration is really whittling that away because he hates family. He hates family. You know, when Christian conservatives say Obama hates family or liberals hate family, they don't really understand the reasons for it, I don't think. It's not a socialist, communist, atheist agenda. The reason that liberals hate family is because they want you to worship the state. And if you're strong with your family, you're less likely to need something else to look up to or to look to for support.
But I thought they loved families because you're producing little tax slaves.
Well, no, they don't like traditional families. They like any kind of family. They like tax slaves. And if the way that has to get done is with families, they'll tolerate it. I mean, really, I think what they would prefer is a Brave New World kind of Demolition Man. Babies are made in test tubes and raised by the state. I think it's headed towards that.
Ooh, okay.
Or the Matrix. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. Yeah.
Well, in the Matrix, it's beyond tax slaves. It's like batteries is what babies are being used for to power things. But, wait, too soon? Spoiler alert?
Yeah, if you haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, I don't know where the cutoff is for having to give a spoiler alert. I kind of feel like it's almost gone with the internet, you know? Yeah.
Exactly. After it's aired, you have like...
Yes. Yeah. No. After the second time it's aired, the first night it airs. Because some people can't catch the 8 o'clock showing of Hell on Wheels. They catch the 11 p.m. one. So
exactly.
After the
right
second
after
showing, I think you can discuss plots. All right. We're going to come back with 5 solid minutes of Libertarians Against Humanity solitaire generator gaming. And if you want to play the home version, go to freedomfiends.com/LOL. That's freedomfiends.com/LOL. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Now, Nikki likes cats, so those boys that are sending their resumes, she likes guys with cats and dogs and guns. And I just got to say, Obama is a liar, he's a socialist, and his feet stink. And then we're going to spend the last 5 minutes here playing Libertarian Cards Against Humanity. So let's go me, Garrett, Nikki in a circle and just keep reading good ones. All right. You can go to freedomfiends.com/LOL. Freedomfiends.com/LOL to play along with the home version. All right. And this is basically a game where you match two sets of cards and you come up with ridiculous statements. And this is the libertarian version. All right. One time at Porkfest, I saw George Soros.
Derek J. was recently arrested for the Illuminati.
When I get to New Hampshire, I plan to have a bogus DMCA claim.
One time at Porkfest, I smoked a four-hour Google Hangout video with bad audio on voluntary virtues that no one will ever watch. I didn't write all these. Jim Jesus wrote a lot of these. All right.
This one's more true than funny. True libertarians never like a social contract.
That's true. Yeah, sometimes they're dead on true, and sometimes they're completely untrue. I would join the Free State Project, but New Hampshire has too much no smoking signs on the Statue of Liberty.
Oh. Boo.
Last night on Free Talk Live, Ian and Mark got into a fight about uploading videos of yourself doing DMT on YouTube.
Right. Nikki, that's an Adam Kokesh show reference, I think.
Yeah. The new competitor to the Silk Road got shut down for selling the Federal Reserve. Whee!
That's funny. Oh, yeah. I think the DMT thing is also maybe a Joe Rogan reference.
Yeah.
At next year's Porkfest, they will have an annoying radio ad about anarchist lapel pins.
Having outgrown childish libertarian fantasies, I now believe in the blockchain.
That's pretty much true. Okay, Nikki.
I left my boyfriend because he did not agree with me about homesteading a ring around someone's property to prevent their escape.
That's kind of funny because you just did break up with your boyfriend, but I think it was for something else. This one's pretty funny. The new Christopher Cantwell article explains why the non-aggression principle is not violated by Marx's labor theory of value.
In my basement, I have stockpiled 6,000 pounds of a magic word you can say in court to get off scot-free.
Okay, Nikki.
Huh. We need to audit a social contract.
Yeah, we do. I miss Nima Vedati because he was so good at explaining buying a sheet of acid on the Silk Road.
At next year's Porkfest, they will have anti-statists advocating mandatory GMO labeling. That's so true.
In his most recent video, Stefan Molyneux explains the truth about a $2 donation.
Oh, wow.
That one worked. Although he never did. Okay. I got in a screaming fight on Face Beef about New Hampshire, a wonderful libertarian paradise where the roads are paved with Bitcoin.
According to a Salon article, libertarianism will eventually devolve into objectivism.
At next year's Porkfest, they will have bulk freeze-dried food for the impending economic collapse.
I think they did last year. A windowless bunker full of jury nullification.
True libertarians always carry intellectual property.
Nikki.
Michael Dean's new documentary is called Guns and Weed, The Road to Buying a Sheet of Acid on the Silk Road. That's a good one.
I would join the Free State Project, but New Hampshire has too much Chris Cantwell. That one kind of worked out.
One time at Porkfest, I saw voluntaryism letting your children starve.
Keep going, right up to the end.
We could use the blockchain to deliver a bunch of socialists.
When I get to New Hampshire, I plan to have the Koch brothers.
In our lifetime, I predict we will see syndication via LRN satellite to one guy in Africa.
I think we have that.
Adam Kokesh was most recently arrested for the futility of the voting process.
That's kind of true. That's what did it to him. The market could easily provide the shoulder thing that goes up. Yep.
Last night on Free Talk Live, Mark was screaming about the best microphone for podcasting.
No.
He was talking about that microphone recently. We're all using that microphone.
Replace that with M.W. Dean.
Okay, Nikki.
One time at Porkfest, I saw agorism.
Yeah, I did too. Yep. Who needs the government when we have open carrying worms? We're having so much fun. We turned this on. The show's over. But we can eliminate the government with distributed and decentralized anarcho bacon.
Nice.
Oh, I've seen this one before. True libertarians never like defooing your parents only to refoo because getting a job sucks.
That's actually a comment about a certain person, but I'm not going to say it while we're recording.
Oh, okay. I want to know afterwards, though. True libertarians always carry fluoride in the tap water.
The market could easily provide a hot libertarian woman getting lots of hits on YouTube recycling verbatim things she heard on LRN.
Oh, I love that.
Good.
We could use the blockchain to deliver the gun in the room.
Instead of the gold standard, I propose our currency be tied to the free market. It's not funny. It's true.
True libertarians never like the best microphone for podcasting. Unfortunately, that's largely true, but I'm trying to change it.
True libertarians always have rolling blunts on a copy of The Socialist Worker.
In LibHair, people would have much more Bitcoin.
That's true.
Yeah, I know.
We could use the blockchain to deliver moving to New Hampshire only to find out they still have a government.
The market could easily provide thousands of Doge coins worth approximately 23 cents.
The real problem with government is defoo.
We could use the blockchain to deliver the blockchain.
Instead of the gold standard, I propose our currency be tied to a privately owned heroin vending machine in every privately owned middle school.
In LibPar, people would have much more New Hampshire, a wonderful libertarian paradise where the roads are paved with Bitcoin.
That's true. Oh, this one's kind of me. A windowless bunker full of the best microphone for podcasting.
Yeah, that's totally you.
When I get to New Hampshire, I plan to have the gun in the room.
Oh, the new Christopher Cantwell article explains why the nap is not violated by a hot libertarian woman getting lots of hits on YouTube recycling verbatim things she heard on LRN.
That's funny because he hates that when that happens. Okay, Adam Kokesh was most recently arrested for the social contract. That's true. It did it to him.
I miss Nima Vidati because he was so good at explaining George Soros.
He was.
Having outgrown childish libertarian fantasies, I now believe in a cuss-laden screaming rant syndicated on 165 FCC-regulated radio stations.
1776 will commence again if you try to take Christopher Cantwell.
Oh.
Michael Dean's new documentary is called Guns and Weed, The Road to Christopher Cantwell.
Oh, come on, man.
I didn't generate it.
This is funny. Davy Barker was hassled at the airport for having a 15-year-old yak farmer who knows more about Austrian economics than you do. That's a
good one. Last night on Free Talk Live, Ian and Mark got in a fight about investing in Galt's Gulch, Chile.
All right. We could use the blockchain to deliver the blockchain.
Last night on Free Talk Live, Mark was screaming about 3 pounds of uninspected bacon you bought with Bitcoin at Porkfest.
I think he was selling uninspected bacon at Porkfest. Yeah. Well, I know he's a pig farmer and went to Porkfest. We could use the blockchain to deliver voluntarily letting your children starve.
Instead of the gold standard, I propose our currency be tied to a privately owned Oh, we already had this one. Refresh.
This one makes sense. Libertarians have to recognize that their ideology will never be accepted by defoo.
Mm, yes. Derek J. was recently arrested for worms.
True libertarians never like those shitty Atlas Shrugged movies.
That's a good one. Bitcoin is better than a $2 donation. Ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
Last night on Free Talk Live, Mark was screaming about the NSA.
That's probably true. At Keenvention, I was on a panel about a 15-year-old yak farmer who knows more about Austrian economics than you do.
I left my significant other because he did or she did not agree with me about a bunch of socialists.
I would join the Free State Project, but New Hampshire has too much. Am I being detained?
It does. It doesn't have too much, but it has a lot. Mises said, you're all a bunch of broadcasting ANCAP radio to planet LibPair 2019B in the Alpha Centauri region.
In our lifetime, I predict we will see a $2 donation.
Yeah, I get about one a week. All right.
Bitcoin will eventually replace Christopher Cantwell.
He's not in there that much. There's a couple there's like, you know, 70 of the one card and 70 of the other cards. And like Christopher Cantwell might be in there twice because I ran out of stuff. You know, there's like three or four of them that are in there twice, but he seems to be coming up a lot in for the random number generating. All right. Bitcoin is better than thinking carefully about everything you're about to say to avoid using the term we so as not to imply collectivism.
That's true.
We need to audit Bitcoin.
Good luck.
Michael Dean's new documentary is called Guns and Weed, the Road to Anti-State. It's advocating mandatory GMO labeling.
In my basement, I have stockpiled 6,000 pounds of anarcho bacon.
This is a good one. Last night on Free Talk Live, Mark was screaming about hot libertarian women getting lots of hits on YouTube, recycling verbatim things she heard on LRN.
I'm looking for a good one. The market can easily provide moving to New Hampshire only to find out that they still have a government.
Who needs the government when we have Gadsden flags? That's like the Tea Party says.
One time at Porkfest, I smoked a bunch of socialists.
In our lifetime, I predict we will see a bunch of socialists.
In a free society, insurance companies could defend against aggressive foreign states by using bunch of socialists.
They already do. True libertarians always carry government guns. All right, let's go back to the order. It's Nikki's turn.
1776 will commence again if you try to take the NSA.
if you?
Yeah. A little spelling mistake there. Okay. It's okay.
It was at the end of one card and the beginning of another.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
The new Christopher Cantwell article explains why the NAP is not violated by Christopher Cantwell.
Oh, the if you. I'm going to fix that typo because I sent this to be put in the in the torrent archive. So I'm going to go fix that right now. It's not one card, one card. It's in the one card. All right. Oh. Great show, you guys. Thank you for your service.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Good show.
Worms.
Always fun.
Worms.
So wait, Nikki, you're not on tomorrow night or you are? You're not.
No,
right?
I thought today was Saturday for some reason.
I'll call Davi and see if you can do it.
Sorry.
All right. No problem. Thanks.
Okay. All right. Bye, y'all.
Bye.